All righty. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And, all right, what have you done that has landed you in the ER, like a certain individual whose name I'm sure you might have heard once or twice, face planted last night while out for a run, falling on an uneven sidewalk? And I don't think he's going to sue. I think he's not that litigious. I probably would, but that's just me. But, by the way, that does call into mind the issue of your sidewalk in front of your house. Typically, you are responsible for that sidewalk. And I was fortunate enough to find a concrete company that was able to replace mine a couple of summers ago. And boy, am I glad I found them, because, man, did my sidewalk need replacing. So it is as smooth as your butt right now. That probably came out rather awkwardly. I apologize. Okay, so what did you do that planted you firmly in the hands of the emergency room? Let's go to Dave in Niagara Falls. Dave, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Good afternoon. Well, originally I was calling for something else, but I did end up in the emergency room once when I was a little kid. You know those outdoor above-ground three-foot pools that you would set up in your backyard as a kid?
Of course.
We had the ladder. It was going in and out. Well, my cousins were over visiting. They're bigger and older than me and my brother. And we went ahead and put the ladder on the outside, and everybody decided to jump from the ladder into the pool, you know, diving. And I was the littlest one, and I got up there, and I was nervous, and the ladder tipped over. I ended up falling down on top of one of the bolts and went up, right up into my arm.
Oh! Oh!
Right there, near the armpit.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, it was probably, it bled like crazy. Plus, I was all wet from being in the pool, and you know how wet blood looks. It goes everywhere. So I was a mess. My mother was going nuts, and we ended up running to DeGraff and sat in the emergency room. And I still got the scar under the right arm for it.
So a bolt? That's just, I mean, and in your, like, near your underarm, which is so sensitive and delicate. I mean, oh!
Yeah, I was, I think I was like 6 or 7 years old when that happened.
So, did you freak out at 6 or 7 years old seeing all that blood, knowing it was from you?
Well, I believe I was crying a little bit. You know, I was scared, you know, because we put the towel there and the towel just got soaked with blood.
Ugh.
You know, I don't know exactly. I don't think it really ripped any artery, but it stuck in at least a good almost an inch. My grandfather had repaired one of the steps before. You know, my grandpa was a real handy guy. He was born in 1903, so he knew how to repair everything. You know, he lived through the Depression. So, you know, anything that could be fixed, he fixed it. Well, he didn't have the right bolt, and he put a little bit longer one in there, and that's the one I landed on.
Oh, good Lord. And how many stitches?
It had to have been at least 5 stitches. It wasn't that big of a bolt, but it was, I don't know, it was probably about maybe a little 3/8 bolts or 1/4 inch bolt.
Oh, dude, that just, you have my ever abiding sympathy in that. That's just horrible. But as a grown-up, I mean, if that's the best you can do when you were 6 years old, you've had a charmed life as a grown-up.
Well, more fortunate than my buddy in Virginia Beach is what I was going to originally call you about. He had bought one of those nice choppers, you know, Harley. Well, it's a RevTech S&S motor or whatever. One of the big long jobbers. Had the long, skinny gas tank. And he bought it, one of those spiked gas caps, you know, with the spike sticking out of it. Well, he'll never buy any of them anymore because he ended up running into the back end of a car by, you know, and he rode up the tank, and there went his, he put a big old gash in his testicles.
Oh! Oh!
I had heard you talk about the guy with the nail gun, and you know,
but I mean, the guy with the nail gun, that's going to stay with me and haunt me the rest of my life, because the obvious issue is getting the testicle and the nail out of the roof had to be excruciating. And that area of the male anatomy bleeds ferociously. It is highly vascularized. And that's when, I mean, in all seriousness, wounds to the male genital region, a lot of times you see people will actually bleed out in a matter of minutes. That's how severe it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got, you know, it's a lot of blood running down in there. You know, well, it's, I didn't end up in the emergency room, but when I had my vasectomy, I had the right side, you know, get all filled up full of blood. It looked like I got kicked by a horse. You know, it bruised up everything down there. But, that, yeah, that was a vasectomy story. I think you did those before.
Oh, yeah, I did vasectomy stories the day I was having mine done. And everybody was telling me, oh, it's going to hurt. You better have a bag of iced peas around. Oh, nonsense. I was at the company Christmas party 2 hours later.
Well, what happened to me was the right side wouldn't numb up. So they kept going ahead and jamming it with all the Novocaine or whatever they put in there. And it just wouldn't numb up. So they ended up doing the rest of it. I felt all the stitches in there, so it wasn't a pleasant thing. And then afterwards, because of all the medicine they shoved into that right side, it must cause some extra bleeding, and the whole vas deferens tube filled up full of blood. What, you know, after they cauterize it,
yeah.
And it was like running around with a third testicle.
thus giving new and everlasting meaning to the expression, I need that like I need a third, you know what. Thank you.
I was one of the unlucky 15% that has a complication.
Oh, I'm so, well, hey, at least it wasn't a hydroseal, which you can look that up online. It looks like hydrocoli, but it's hydroseal, and you never want one of those. Sadly, they run in the family, so it's only a matter of time. Thank you. But you know what? If I like the larger size, I might just keep it, you know? Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, you know, I'll do anything for that. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. All right, so what did you do that planted you in the ER? Our guy was out running last night, face planted in East Aurora, and I didn't see Tim today, but apparently his nose does not look good. I mean, Tim, this is not disrespectful at all. I have a small nose. Tim does not have a large nose, but it's certainly larger than mine. And I'd imagine right now it's a heck of a lot larger than mine. And it wouldn't surprise me if he gets black eyes over the weekend. That's black eyes over the weekend. Here is kind of make sure how you enunciate everything these days, because oh my goodness, I can just imagine. Here is Gary on WBEN in Boston. Gary, what did you do that ended you up in the ER?
Yeah, Tom, about 2 years ago, just at the beginning of the ice fishing season, I had a hand crank auger, and my son and I, who lives on the west side, we're going to go out to Chautauqua Lake. So I said, well, I better make sure this auger is sharp enough. So I said, where can I go to see and find some ice so I can test it? So I went to Delaware Park Lake, you know, Hoyt Lake, right by the casino where they had the shack where you rent the canoes. Long story short, I find the ice right near the sidewalk there. So I'm standing on the sidewalk. I put a little lean on the auger. All of a sudden, the ice breaks through, and I fall into the water. And on the way down, it was only up to my waist. I raked my one side of my leg, the upper thigh. So I said, oh, boy, you know, quite embarrassing besides. So I crawl out of there. Somebody was over there asking, hey, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. So I hobbled. It was painful. So I hobbled up to my car parked on Lincoln. And then I drove myself to ECMC. I'm soaking wet, you know, big, heavy shoes and everything.
And
so
freezing.
Long story short, I go in there and, you sign up and you sit there. But I was sitting there for about 5 hours with wet clothes, you know. So after weeks of being black and blue, the blood finally drained all the way down to my toes. And my toes puffed up with, bloody bruises, you know. But interesting. Inside the emergency room, there was an old gentleman there. They must have known him because they knew his name. So he'd come in and out. I'm assuming he's taking a smoke or whatever. He had one of these, he's sort of a street person, you know. So he had one of these old cloth coats on all the way down to his knees. So finally he comes back, sits right across from me all of a sudden, you know, da-da-da-da. His coat starts smoking. So everybody's looking and, you know, hey, buddy, your coat's on fire. So, you know, I guess he put his short cigarette that he put out outside in his pocket, and then it caught on, you know, no flame or anything, but just, you know, a lot of smoke. It was a pretty comical scene.
Well, comical would be maybe one way to phrase it. I would call that borderline tragedy. And you know, the thing is, when you look at the causes of fires, smoking materials, I mean, cooking is a big cause of fires, which is mainly the reason I refuse to cook around the house. You're not going to believe that, are you? But, yeah, but
I mean, tell you a story about my hernia?
Well, is it an ER story?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a doctor's story.
I'm going to stick with ER stories today for right now. But you know, at some point when we get closer to go time, I would like to hear your story. Send me an email. Thank you, Tom at WBEN.com. Thank you. Yeah, and I do want to. I got to find a doctor with privileges at ECMC to do my hernia surgery. There are other options, but I prefer ECMC. You'll be handsomely rewarded. Not you, the doctor. It's not going to be a big deal. It's just like if you were to look at my abdomen, you would say, wow, it looks like you've got this giant zit on your like, it's the size of a golf ball. But it is what it's one of those stupid things. But I told you it was going to happen, and this will be the last thing that should go wrong for a while, because I don't think there's a part of me that hasn't been touched, operated on, or whatever you want to call it in the past 6 years. Pretty much everything. I'm bionic, in case you ever wanted to know. Oh, don't get me wrong. At some point, I'd love to hear your hernia stories, but I'll wait until it's almost go time on that one to hear those. It's like it's not a big deal. Yes, it is uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie, but it's not the end of the world or anything even resembling the end of the world. Let's put it this way: when you've had neck fusion surgery, when you've had all the other things that have gone on, that's going to be pretty minor. Like, you know, putting a piece of mesh in my intestines. Believe me, that's the least of my concerns. Let's go to I still like saying intestines. Here is Mark in Buffalo. Mark, what did you do that ended you up in the ER?
Oh boy. Tom, how are you doing with the eye stuff, by the way?
I am a miracle with the eye stuff because my retina was completely detached. They actually thought I might lose use of my right eye, but believe it or not, uncorrected, my right eye sees 20/25.
That's awesome.
That really I'm an outlier. They were not expecting that. I am a total outlier. It's like the heart thing. I shouldn't be here, but
I have advanced glaucoma, and it came up in a routine eye exam in 2013. I've lost 85% of my optic nerve, my retina. Oh. So to the listeners out there, you have got to maintain your annual eye exam, because mine popped up out of the blue. In 2013, I'm not in the high risk group. It doesn't run in my family. Mm. It was just bad luck.
Did you remember what the number was when they did the testing of the eye, the pressure, the intraocular pressure, what it was?
Yes, sir. That's called tonometry, and I've learned a lot about glaucoma, unfortunately. And my I think it's in pull of mercury. Anyway, it was like 33 and 36.
Oh my goodness, that's a
oh
lot
my God,
more than
it's, right, and it should be like 13.
And between 10 and 20 is what they aim for.
I wanted to thank you for viewing my UFO stuff. I just send you genuine stuff. I don't send you garbage.
No, I appreciate that, but I can't respond.
Here's my ER story, man. I'll make it short.
Yes, sir.
I was working Union Construction. And we were doing drywall. It's a two-man job. And you have first the leader who hangs the lids and puts up the walls. And you have the secondary man, which I was, that you have the zip gun. and you have inch and a half drywall screws in your left hand, and you've got the drill, the zip gun, in your right. And I was moving way too fast. And I ended up putting a drywall screw through my left palm inner between two fingers, and it popped up on the outside of my hand on the other side. And I said to my foreman, "Man, this hurts." And he said, "I'm moving way too fast." And he goes, "Mark, just grit your teeth and go ahead and unscrew it." And between the threads of the screw, there was pink flesh. And I grit my teeth hard, and I just did it. And I had to go to the emergency room because I had to get tetanus shots and the rest of it, and they wanted to do a follow-up. But the actual procedure itself, I did it myself.
I'm sure you're familiar with the anatomy of the hand and the fact that your hand isn't like one big bone. It's a conglomeration of a whole bunch of bones. Same thing with your feet and your ankle, that whole area.
I was lucky because I missed, it went right between my ring finger and my middle finger. It went right in between the bone. So I was fortunate. And my thought, not to get too philosophical, is I thought, could you imagine Jesus Christ on a cross with this amount of weight on your hands?
Actually, it's interesting you mention that because it is my belief, based on the documentaries that I've watched, that Jesus wasn't actually nailed in the hand area because he would have weighed too much, so the nails probably would have ripped through his hands. My guess is he was probably crucified by the wrist between the radius and the ulna, which would offer him more support, if you will.
I agree with you. You're exactly right. That's good physics right there. That there would not be sufficient amount of flesh to maintain a human body on a cross like that. You'd have to throw the nail through the wrist. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen forensic.
I'm happy to hear about your eye stuff.
Right, Mark, thank you.
You and I are buddies. I talk to you every once in a while. I have been praying for you. You don't owe me nothing. It's for free.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Don't know what I've done to find any favor with God, but I thank you kindly for your kind thoughts. It is 27 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. But see, that to me, that's one of the amazing things about the – have you guys heard of the Shroud of Turin, T-U-R-I-N? I'm sure you have. But what is so compelling about that shroud is that anatomically – and again, I've watched a forensic pathologist analyze everything about the shroud, and medically speaking, they talk about a cold case, but medically speaking, the body looks exactly as you would expect it to look from a crucified male of the first century, including the retraction of the thumb, which would have happened because the nerve that controls the thumb would have been severely impinged, if not severed, during the crucifixion process. And I don't care. And as far as the carbon dating of the shroud, I don't buy it because the carbon dating was probably done on areas of the shroud that were repaired after a fire, not on the original part of the shroud. And if it's a medieval forgery, why did they find pollen from the Middle East and a specific area around Jerusalem in the fibers of the cloth? I mean, that's one hell of a forgery, don't you think? It is 28. It's like Oswald. That's one hell of a shot. 28 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And I don't know what to make of the Shroud of Turin. I really don't. I've been fascinated by it. It's quite an amazing thing. And we didn't even know what the Shroud was all about until photography, when the photographer looked at the negative and it brought out the image in a way that had never been seen before. And it's quite remarkable. It really is. Oh, good memory. Good memory. It is, Tanner Saunders behind the glass, because I mentioned yesterday vinyl and how when you have a song you really like, right before the guitar solo, that's when the record decides to skip, like Stairway to Heaven. Anyway, it's Bowerly. So you ended up in the ER. What happened to you? How did you end up in the ER? What happened? Because one of our noteworthy Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Famers who works here at News Radio 930 WBEN, he took a face plant last night and was basically gushing blood all over the place. And I mean, you know, you should never feel bad about falling, especially on a frost-heaved sidewalk. These things are going to happen. And back before my eye recovered, I told you the story about I misjudged something, which is a problem when you're missing an eye. I totally misjudged it, and I literally fell down my side steps, and I felt like the biggest jerk in the world. But the thing about ice skating, skiing, and playing hockey, you do learn how to fall. So I know how to fall pretty well, which is probably good as I get older. I save the kids money on my life alert or whatever. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. The only thing that hurt was my pride. Here's Mark in Cheektowaga. Mark, you're on WBEN. You have a tale of woe that wound you up in the ER.
Actually, it's Marie.
I'm sorry. You know what? That's on me. I read that wrong. Literacy apparently is not a strong suit.
That's okay, Tom. So I was in my early 20s. I was living with a boyfriend at that time. We had an old, the old refrigerators that in the freezer, it had that little lip on there when you opened it up. And it started frosting up. And my call to my mother was, hey, how do I get this defrosted without taking a knife or something and, you know, chipping away at it? She goes, well, take a big pot of hot water and set it in there. Shut the door for about 5-10 minutes and, you know, then take the, you know, pot of water back out and, you know, dump it. And then you should just be able to get it out with a towel. I says, okay. So I did it. Everything was going great. I'm cleaning the house and I'm like, oh, okay, I got to go take the pot of water out. Yeah, well, two things. She failed to tell me to make sure I lifted the pot up high enough not to hit the bottom lip of the pot with the lip of the freezer. And then she failed to tell me that the pot of water would not cool down to being lukewarm yet. So needless to say, both lips collided, spilled on my left breast, and I had second-degree burns on my left breast, including the nipple. So when I got to the ER, I had 6 nurses come in and say, oh, we have to check, you know, see, make sure, you know, you're in for the right thing. And I looked at them and I went, listen, if you want to see my breast, just ask me. Then I had some PAs come in. I had some doctors come in before I actually got seen. Because they never saw this. This had never occurred.
Nobody had ever come in with second-degree burns of the breast?
Not from a pan of hot water, a pot of hot water.
Wow. Okay, but you know, what got me is when you said nipple. And I'm not trying to be gratuitously gross or sexual here, but if you are, if you ever want to understand, if you're a guy and you ever want to understand the tenderness of the nipple, jog or walk fast on a 90-degree high humidity day, which we won't see for about a year, your shirt will chafe your nipples and you will develop a new appreciation of the sensitivity of nipples. And true story, when I was walking along the river every single day, 10 miles in the middle of summer back in 2010, I literally put Band-Aids over my nipples because they were chafed beyond words.
Yep.
But your story of the burn, how long, I mean, first of all, did you completely heal without any scar whatsoever?
Yes, I did. I forgot what antibiotic they gave me, but I used it just like they told me every day faithfully. I think I had to use it for like a month and then do a follow-up. And when I went to go see my doctor, my OBGYN doctor, she was actually shocked that I had no scarring whatsoever, and I did not lose any sensitivity.
Well, very happy on both counts, but, you know, things happen. And even if you had scarred, let's put it this way, another scar, another story. And if I took my shirt off in front of you, you would look at my body and say, what in the hell? Did you crawl through barbed wire? What exactly did you do? But I won't be taking off my shirt anytime real soon in front of too many people. Maybe doctors. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
All right.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you. Oh, burns are just awful. And this is not medical advice, okay? But one of the things that I will do if I do something stupid, and I usually burn my hand if I burn anything, I'll hold an ice cube in it and let the ice cube melt. Then I'll take another ice cube, let that ice cube melt. And I've actually found, and this is not medical advice, I'm just speaking from personal experience, that the ice cube technique actually is very effective in reducing inflammation and reducing the long-term severity of any burn that I've had. Like, stupid me, touching the top of the lawnmower after using it. Duh. I mean, it's like, how stupid can I be? Like, I was so excited today. I got my new nose hair trimmer. And you know you're getting old when you get excited at the arrival of a new nose hair trimmer. I'm like, yeah. And I can't figure out how to get the damn battery thing off of it. It's like, wait a minute. Why? It's supposed to just unscrew, right? Well, apparently not. Apparently my ability to unscrew has been severely compromised over the years. Here is Jay in Elmira on WBEN. Actually, is it Elmira or Elma? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
That is Elmira.
All right, Elmira, New York, you are on WBEN.
All right, Tom, this is going to pretty much bring up the last lady that just talked and people before her. September 4th. 2018, 2:08 p.m., 92 degrees and humid. I was cutting a piece of steel and didn't realize that I had, I'm just going to say, a few pounds of black powder in the corner, and didn't know that mice like to chew the plastic.
Oh.
Well, it blew me out the door. I look back, I'm like, holy crap, what just happened? Noticed that I was smoking. I said, this isn't right. So I went around the back, put myself out, and I made sure I didn't kill any of my dogs in this little explosion. And I knew what it was because of the smell. I was very used to it.
Right.
And they ended up, well, I went to call my wife, and where I knew I was in big trouble is when I grabbed my phone, I'm left-handed, and I wanted to touch the phone to say, hey, you might want to meet me at the hospital because this probably isn't going to be good. And I seen all the skin coming down over my nail.
Oh.
And that was the worst pain I ever had in my life was touching that phone. So they took me. I actually walked to the ambulance. I could see. No problem. Fire department showed up at the same time. And I told the one guy that's a retired guard, I said, listen, do me a favor. I know what it was. There's no more in there. Please do not soak down my garage because of my welders and stuff. So, long story short, I get taken to a Pennsylvania hospital. When I get in there, of course, they gave me oxycodone. and the doctor said, hey, if you don't mind, can we have some students come in and look at you. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. I'm butt naked. I really don't care right now. I need to get fixed.
Yeah, they've seen it all before.
So it comes out, it came up to 53% burns, first, second, and third degrees.
Oh.
They lifeweighted me east Pennsylvania, and 33 days in a coma, I wake up, and the doctors kept saying, okay, look at me, look at me. I'm like, I am looking at you. I can't see a thing.
Okay, I'm just kind of confused here between the time the medical students wanted to look at your first, second, and third degree burns on your body, and you said, sure, no problem, and then they airlift you, and then you wake up a month later from a coma. What happened with the coma? Was it medically induced, or did your body just freak out on you?
Well, that's the worst part, is I was still kind of awake when they started shoving that tube down my throat. I was not a happy camper. So I was in the induced coma for the 33 days. I could not, and that's the other thing I want to say. If you ever have to take a helicopter ride, they're not cheap. This was $67,000 for 55 minutes. And it's, thank God I had good insurance. So when I woke up, one of the ladies came in and she seen a little red dot on my pupil. And right in front of my family, oh, he's never going to be able to see again. I mean, real rude about it. Well, what it is, it was called posterior ischemic optic neuropathy, and that is from having a stroke when you're in a coma. This hospital is number two in the country for burns. They have never, ever seen somebody lose their eyesight in both eyes. And I'm talking, I can't tell you if it's dark or light out.
Do you mean?
And that's my story.
To this day, you lost your vision. You can't see.
No, sir, I can't see a thing. Oh, and I'm living by myself with two dogs.
Oh my! That is like one of the worst nightmares that I can possibly think of. That's horrible. But it is apparently something that is a risk when they induce a coma. And it's not, I mean, you know, it's not malpractice, because it's not a bad result. It's not, you know, malpractice means bad medicine, not a bad result. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, and you had to be a negative outlier losing your vision. That's just horrible. But as far as you mentioned your family, but then you said you live alone. What happened with your family?
Well, let's just say that was 5 years, and I noticed my wife is always buying stuff. Well, she hasn't paid taxes on my house or my rental in 4 years. So it was like $41,000. Once I caught her at paying her kids, that ended it last January 1st. So I've been here hanging out, waiting for my mom to come home from Florida in May, and we'll start another chapter for the over the summertime, but you can't stop living. And one thing I am going to say, everybody thinks they got it worse than somebody else. Everybody hears my story. And I will tell you, 2 years into this, there was a police officer in Rochester that got his eye stabbed out from an ex-convict that I knew from work. And I was devastated more for that gentleman than I was for myself.
Well, you know what? I mean, you raise an excellent point. Every time, you know, all the various nonsense that I've been through the last 6 years, I've always made it a point to say, hey, look, don't bother praying for me. Pray for the two-year-old with cancer. And, you know, somebody definitely has it worse out there. So, I mean, that's a tremendous attitude to have. But nonetheless, losing your vision, that's a nightmare scenario for me. And unfortunately, I kind of relate, but things had a happy ending for me. And who knows, maybe in the future, well, you know, you don't want to get your hopes up, but maybe in the future they'll figure out a way to restore your vision. I hope so. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate the call.
Anytime. Can I say one more thing?
I'm sorry. I'm out of time, man. I appreciate hearing from you, but I'm a prisoner of the clock. It's 5:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Tom Puckett coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News, 6 until 7 on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks for all the calls today. Really appreciate it. And drive carefully out there, because it's a soggy, sopping, leaf-covered mess.